This is your gateway to the latest trends in the Gulf, bringing you exclusive insights and thought-provoking discussions. Welcome to AB Majlis, an Arabian business podcast. You can find our weekly episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more exclusive content, subscribe to us on arabianbusiness.com. Welcome back to another episode of our podcast. Today we'll be talking about the rare and decadent culinary delicacy, truffles. Over the past few years, it's become extremely popular in Dubai's high-end restaurant scene. As more celebrity chefs incorporate truffles into their dishes, demand has skyrocketed across the city, creating a lucrative opportunity for suppliers like our guest today. But a lot happens behind the scenes of the global truffle trade, which has been marked by theft, black market risks, and more. But without further ado, in the studio with me today is one of Dubai's major suppliers, Mihai Florescu, a co-founder of Truffle House. Welcome to the podcast, Mihai. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Tala. Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay, so, you know, you've become one of the top truffle suppliers in Dubai. You've also catered to, I think you said, over 40 restaurants across the city. But maybe if we could just take a step back and talk about how you first started out in the business. Like, what inspired you to start up Truffle House?
The story of Truffle House began in 2017 with a different type of clientele in mind, which was obviously not the restaurant industry. We wanted to create a space where end consumers, home chefs, people who like cooking, like entertaining, could walk into and the music would be good, the store would look good, it would smell nice, obviously like truffles.
Yeah.
But they would have access to a tasting environment. So Truffle House started as a store, as a truffle store, specialized truffle store. And I think still today we are the only specialized truffle retail store in the GCC. I don't think there's anybody else doing what we're doing at the level that we're doing it at. Mm-hmm. So yes, the restaurants were a natural consequence of being on the market. But Truffle House is a retail-heavy company with a learning and tasting experience attached.
Mm-hmm. And so do you only operate in the UAE or is it also across the region?
Now, at the moment, we have two stores in Dubai. One is in Dubai Mall and one in Dubai Hills Mall. Actually, that's the other way how they opened, Dubai Hills Mall first and then Dubai Mall. And we supply restaurants across the UAE.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so what restaurants do you tend to work with? Is it more on the high end or?
No, our truffles have become such a popular ingredient that, you know, anybody with a pizza on the menu will need truffles.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in Dubai especially, whenever you see restaurants trying to up their game, especially in the mid-level, they always add truffle or they add Cheetos or they add Lotus.
But there's a different approach there. So you can opt for the usual truffle products, the oil, the sauces, the creams, but you also have the option of fresh truffles.
Yes.
And that's when we're talking about higher-end restaurants, yes.
Mm-hmm. But why are truffles so expensive?
Well, it's a good combination of supply and demand plus marketing attached.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, historically, truffles have been an ingredient accessible only by the elite and the royal families. And, you know, but the appeal and the cost of sourcing fresh truffles is still high.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there is a scarcity to the truffles. They don't just pop. You don't just go and pick truffles out of a tree. Obviously, they don't grow on trees. But
true.
But there's a lot of hard work behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess it's seasonal as well. I think when we spoke last time, you mentioned winter truffles are more expensive than summer.
Absolutely.
Across the world or?
Yes.
Know?
Yeah. So now you find truffles, good quality truffles, all over Europe, of course. But you have, you know, the Americas, North America, and then Australia has really good winter truffles. But again, shipping costs, duty, and all those costs associated. We mainly use European suppliers and truffle hunters. But yes, they're seasonal, and white truffles, the white is the king, right?
Yes.
They're very difficult to find. They actually grow a little bit deeper into the ground, so you know, it takes a lot of work to get them out.
Mm-hmm. And there's also truffle tourism as well. I guess that's skyrocketed over the last few years.
Absolutely. Look, it only takes one truffle hunt to understand why. Mm-hmm. To understand why do people like that. We've been doing it every year. We go back to Italy or Spain every year and we go on these hunts, and it's fascinating to see the dogs work and to see the passion of the hunters, and, you know, actually to start digging the ground and then into the ground, and then you see this little pokey white thing kind of sticking out, and you have to carefully dig around. It's like digging up treasure.
Yeah, sounds like it. Mm. A friend of mine was telling me, he's based in Italy, that his friend owns a truffle tourism company, but she places the truffles strategically.
Okay.
So people find them. Do you think that's
look,
ethical?
I mean,
so it sounds like a scavenger hunt a little bit.
It's like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of.
Just in time for Easter.
Yeah. But I guess it depends how much time do you have, because nobody guarantees you that you'll find truffles. It's like going on a safari and people expect to see all the big animals within an hour. It doesn't happen that way. So you need time. Mm-hmm. You need time, you need to understand the season, where to look. And obviously a more experienced hunter with better trained dogs could facilitate that.
Mm-hmm. So the truffle market is projected to grow. It's currently worth $340 million. It's estimated to reach $800 million by the end of 2033. Now, with the scarcity and climate change, I feel maybe it's even going to... Probably these projections are just a rough estimate, and it could actually in reality be much more than that. What's your take on that?
So the... financial volume, the transactional volume of commercial truffles will probably more than double.
Mm-hmm.
And that will have to do directly with the climate change and the natural changes that happen. We're seeing already a problem for particularly summer truffles, because Europe has become a lot more dry. There's less rain. The truffles that come out of Europe are smaller and smaller. The prices are going up. That's why I would say a buy market of truffles, which is mm-hmm. truffle products, will very likely grow proportionally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with less fresh truffles available, there'll be more, and with high demand, there'll be more truffle products to replace the actual mushroom.
Okay.
But yes, that sounds about right, that projection. We are looking at constant growth for the next 10, 15 years in, again, transaction volume, not necessarily truffle volume.
Okay, I see. Yeah, because I guess supply and demand, right?
Absolutely.
So the truffle industry is known to be quite secretive. Have you personally faced any challenges, you know, in terms of supply chain issues?
But look, with truffles in general, you have to secure a very reliable source. We work with the same truffle hunters for the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've built relationships. Truffle trade is about building relationships first. So you need to know, and we're very particular with the traceability and the sourcing of our truffles. We try to stay away from, let's call them secondhand markets.
Okay.
Markets that use heavy pesticides on the lands, and, you know, suppliers from those places. So in Italy, Spain and France, where most of our truffles come from, we know the people, we know the hunters, we know the families, we know where they live, how they live. We know everything about how those truffles are sourced. And so far, we're lucky because people have been fairly honest with us, and they told us, look, we don't have Italian truffles this week, but we have Spanish or French or sometimes Eastern European. Which in terms of quality are good truffles, they're great, but Italy alone cannot produce, and I'm saying Italy because they claimed it and they've done the most to regulate the truffle industry, mm-hmm. but Italy alone cannot produce enough truffle to supply the world demand. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So secretive, sure, everybody wants to protect their source, I guess, but with regulation, that whole cloud of secrecy will disappear, because it will be very, very easy to trace the source.
But there's also a lot of unethical practices. I mean, every year you see dog poisoning making headlines, especially in Italy, I guess, because it's probably the most regulated one, so you hear about it the most. Could you tell us maybe more about these types of things? Like, how do these things happen?
Yes, unfortunately, there's an ugly side to the industry. Italy has done, as I said, has done the most to regulate it. So whereas, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, the truffle hunt happened on public land where everybody had access. It only took one hunter to find one bigger truffle, bigger piece, and then everybody would flock, everybody would go there. And it was common practice to leave behind a little bit of poison, or, you know, which is not okay. But now, first of all, Umbria has added, the region of Umbria has added truffle hunting into their UNESCO offering. So now truffle hunting in Umbria is under the UNESCO heritage. And all of these lands have been allocated to a certain amount of hunters regionally. So people share the land, they're small co-ops organized. It's a lot less cruel, and it's a lot more, there's a lot more handshaking over the process, which is great. It should be that way. It takes so many years to train a dog, and they're part of their family. I mean, every truffle hunter is in love with their dogs, their family. So losing one is not just losing an asset that finds you, helps you find truffles. It's losing a part of your family. I don't know if you have pets, but I have a dog, and I'd die if something, exactly. See, if something would happen to my dog, if, you know, I can only imagine.
Yeah, your dog's also a part of your branding as well.
Yes, yes, yes. So we have a Cocker Spaniel as part of our brand illustrations, and that is my dog, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful dog, honestly. So back into the counterfeit market. So, you know, we also have people sort of falsely marketing truffles. And then you buy the truffle for like a low price and you taste it and you're like, this just tastes like a regular mushroom. I mean, do you see that kind of happening in the region?
I wouldn't say the word counterfeit is accurate. I would say that people rush into the supply. So it's like any other fruit or vegetable. If you pick it underripe, you'll have no smell, no flavor. And there are particular regions that are notorious for providing either underripe or fully ripe but tasteless truffles. There's a whole variety of reasons there. Microclimate, again, pesticides, and, you know, all of that. But counterfeit, as I said, it wouldn't be the way I would describe it. But again, people bring in products that are not ready. They're not ready to market. They're not ripe. And then selling them at a lower price, just for that visual impact of having the truffle slice or truffle shaving on your pasta. But then you would have to hijack that flavor profile with an oil or something else. But when it comes to truffle products, yes, we have seen a lot of smaller producers who abuse the flavoring side. So, you know, instead of raising the content of truffle, and potentially using a preservation method that transports that flavor profile, use more mushroom, more normal mushrooms, more other fillers, you know, and then topping up with a decent amount of flavoring.
So what are the telltale signs? Like, let's say you're a customer, you go out to buy truffle. How can you tell that that's a really good quality truffle?
Are we talking about fresh truffles or a truffle product?
Could talk about both. Let's start with fresh truffles. Yeah.
Well, fresh truffles, the first thing you need to do is to touch it. It has to be hard, and it has to smell. So the smell test is the first thing. Now, again, considering the particularities of different types of truffles, because a summer truffle will smell very nice and will have very little flavor, but it's also the cheapest on the truffle scale. Whereas a winter black truffle will have that beautiful rounded aroma and a great taste. So if your truffle that you picked up is gummy, and I would use the word gummy, if it's rubbery, if it has green mold on it or colorful mold on it, any color, blue, whatever, as long as it's not a white mold, which is acceptable for truffles, then I would put that back and not touch that. And if it doesn't smell first, all the truffles smell.
Yeah, yeah. It has a very distinct smell.
If it doesn't smell, then try another supplier.
Okay. And what about products? I mean, I guess that's easier to get away with, right?
Because truffle products, yes, you can get away with a lot of things. But again, it's easy enough to read the label. So the cleaner the label, the better the product. So a truffle sauce shouldn't have more than, you know, 3, 4, 5 ingredients.
Yeah.
There will always be a flavoring element to it, but it should be for flavor consistency, not flavor enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in a sauce, you should probably have olives, mushrooms, truffles, obviously, and then oil, an olive oil or sunflower oil. Mm. And that's about it.
So I wanted to also ask you about I think we spoke about this last time I interviewed you, about the desert truffles. Apparently that's a thing in this region. I mean, have you ever come across, any of these types of truffles here?
Okay, I've never tried them. I keep hearing about them, but they're so elusive, because I understand that there's the perfect lightning that has to hit the ground and then that truffle appears. And to my understanding, that's more in the family of the potato than the truffle mushroom side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I haven't tried one yet. I would love to,
mm-hmm.
But apparently they're quite difficult to get. And they only appear after rain. I don't know if the lightning hits the ground and then there's a hole in the ground that exposes the truffle. But I'm not sure exactly how it works here. But yes, a lot of people have told us about these desert truffles.
Do you think there's an opportunity there for like a truffle tourism type of
here
situation?
In the UAE, yeah. For these mm-hmm. desert truffles? Well, you'd have to be very well connected with the weather department. You'd obviously have to track the rains, and you know, with the cloud seeding nowadays, you could actually plan that probably. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay, great. Super interesting stuff. I think we covered a lot of great stuff. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, look, it's a great... Dubai is a great place, or UAE is a great place for what we do, and the industry has grown a lot. I think us as a company, we have a very good vantage point, because mm-hmm. we're halfway in between the end consumer through retail and then also the restaurant side. So,
yeah.
We kind of get a overview of the movement and the directions. And we've seen how, you know, consumers have changed and people have become a lot more knowledgeable and a lot more responsible in the way they choose their food ingredients. There is a trend. People are using better ingredients. They're eating better food, better quality.
Mm-hmm.
And UAE has done a lot in that sense to provide either locally sourced or better ingredients. So I think it's a great place to be. We've seen a lot of interest. We've seen a lot of requests from Saudi Arabia, from Kuwait, from Qatar, Oman, to open Truffle House stores. So obviously there's an appeal. There's a demand for this end consumer approach. And probably very soon we will look at franchising.
Interesting. Where would be the first other Gulf nation you would...
Well, we've gone the furthest with Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
In our conversations, because we have conversations obviously on a daily basis, that side. And it seems like the whole world is looking at Saudi now. So it's a bit of a no-brainer.
And their F&B industry is absolutely incredible, apparently. Even the quality of the food there is so good, I heard.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have all of these new touristic sites that are opening up, and... you know, with people moving to a new place, culinary trends follow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it would be good to be there.
Definitely. With more expats, there's more diversity of cuisines.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for your time, Mihai. And we'll catch up soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. And thank you to all our subscribers. Sign up to arabianbusiness.com for all exclusive content.